Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is Najee E. Brown, your host, and we thank you for your support and participation. Hope for Today is an outreach program of Yield to the King Ministry, and our hope and prayer for our listening audience all over the world is that you hear something that is encouraging, life-altering, or prompting you to study the Word of God. We welcome your comments anytime. You can reach us through our website at www.yieldtothekingministry.org. Welcome to today's episode entitled Christmas, a time for celebration and family traditions. And as always, I'm going to read our promotional material so that I can set the stage and lay the groundwork for this for today's episode. The Christmas season is upon us. Many will celebrate the birth of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ on December 25th. His birth was foretold by the prophets of old, way before it came to pass. The New Testament records the fulfillment of these prophecies, thus making the Christmas story biblical and true. Jesus the Christ was born of a virgin in a manger and came from Bethlehem. Jesus came in the flesh to save sinners. How does your family celebrate Christmas? What traditions highlight this holiday for you? Is Mass or worship service a part of your celebration? Do you avoid Christmas like the plague because of its all-consuming commercialism? Whatever holds true for you, you're not alone. So today we're going to hear from our callers and learn about their family traditions. How do we celebrate Christmas today? Has anything changed since we were children? What traditions are we passing on from generation to generation? So today I'd like to introduce Alisa, who is one of our callers on the line in the studio with us today. And Alisa, I'm going to go ahead and let you introduce yourself to our listening audience.
Hello, everyone. My name is Alisa, and I am from the island of Palau. I have six children, and I am married for 24 years. Thank you for your participation.
Thank you, Alisa. And we also have another caller on the line. I'm going to let her go ahead and introduce herself, too.
I'm Zenobia Bailey. Merry Christmas, everybody. I'm calling from Renton, Washington.
In the Pacific Northwest in the United States. Hi, Zenobia.
Hello. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. I'm well, thank you. Hi, Alisa. Thank you both for joining us today.
Hi, Nan.
So, yes, Christmas.
Hi, Alisa.
Is upon us.
Hi, Zenobia.
ladies, are we ready for Christmas? The Christmas celebration is upon us. It's like right there. So who would like to go first and share with our listening audience what sort of family tradition holds true for you during this holiday season? I'll let the two of you decide who wants to go first.
I'm going to bow to Alisa.
Okay.
Thank you. For me, growing up in the island of Palau, we didn't celebrate Christmas like we do here in the United States. We does celebrate it, but we celebrate it with joys of cooking food, fellowship with one another, go to church, come home, and just be eating lots and lots of food, and just a lot of people fellowshipping. But things does change as I moved to the United States. I was introduced to this Christmas that I'm seeing now. And so it's a little bit different for me. It was overwhelming. It was it's beautiful, though, but it was really overwhelming when it hits the holidays or it comes to December, which is the birth of Christ, and Christmas for everyone, that everything is so hectic, so busy, and yet it's so wonderful. So I was a little bit overwhelmed from the beginning, but then, of course, I adjust. And so because Christmas is the birth of my Lord Jesus Christ, it is all about Him. I love the Christmas. I love the festivity of it. It's beautiful, but it can be really overwhelming. So for me and my family on Christmas, we go to Christmas Eve services. It's far better. But before that, we already cooked a lot of food because we have to eat when we come home and take fellowship and just talk about the birth. And there's a lot of questions because I have a little kid then, and now they're, my youngest is 19. They have a lot of questions about Christ's birth, so it was a chance to get to just talk about our Savior who's been born. And so we don't go all out for the gifts of material things. However, we do have gifts under the Christmas tree, which is our tradition is for everyone being limited in the amount of what they're going to spend to buy the gift for just for fun. And those gifts we can kind of exchange, open, and someone can choose if you want it. Like, it's a game. We turn it to be a game. And it's a tradition for, I guess, nowadays. So we just participate in a little bit. But for me and my family, it is truly, truly about Jesus Christ. And not only that, but throughout the year, we always choose someone back home where me and my family, mostly within our family, who can we give something? And then we'll do that. So that's how it is. And then it's, I haven't get used to it yet. It's really overwhelming, but a beautiful two things at one time. It's beautiful and yet really overwhelming.
I find that interesting. I'm sorry, Naj.
Go ahead.
I find that very interesting that you say that it's overwhelming, because it is. Even for some of us who are who have been born here, it's as a child I didn't feel that it was overwhelming, but as I have matured, it is quite over, or it can be quite overwhelming. And I think just in talking to some of my friends who are not from the United States and maybe didn't grow up in a Christian home or didn't come to know Christ until later years or maybe still haven't, that it can be confusing, because on the one hand, we talk about Jesus being born and the cross, and then they see Santa Claus, and people are having, in my realm, in Irwin, my husband's realm, they're communicating that they're having a difficult time reconciling the two. It just seems to be a very confusing situation for them. So I just really picked up on overwhelming. The lights are beautiful, but for someone who's not used to that, I guess that could also be overwhelming. Did you find that to be the case? Elisa, did you find that to be the case? The lights,
yeah, the lights, they're beautiful. Before we love to go around, just drive around and just watch the lights. Like, I'm from the island, only stars in the, you know, in the skies, and there's no lights like I've seen here in the United States. Even then, back home, it's becoming worse, you know, it's just, we're just cutting everyone, so it's a small island, and we do Christmas tree nowadays, but not unlike when I was growing up. We didn't have Christmas tree, we didn't have Christmas lights. So But what you said is about Christ, and as I mature, like you said, Zenobia, I'm getting to observe it, and then I go, this is how it was during Christ's birth. I mean, it was in Bethlehem, it was busy because it was a census day, so I could imagine how busy it was just like now, where it is to now. And then I'm thinking, so instead of joining the crowd being busy, I have to kind of look really good because I might miss him during the busyness of the season. And, you know, I truly believe that, I don't know, this is just me personally, but like I truly believe that Christ came and he died and he was born and died and rose again. But I truly believe that Jesus could be birthed in the situation in our lives every day. I mean, we can,
yes,
a busyness of, and something is birthed out of it, and that's of him. So if we get to be so busy and about life issues or then we'll miss it. We have to really focus in order to see it.
That's good. Growing up with my situation in my life, I'm the oldest of five children, and it was not always that easy. We didn't grow up with a lot of gifts. That's number one. My parents did celebrate Christmas, excuse me, but we did not have the means. I think that might have been the main reason, but it could have been that they consciously made the decision not to overload the Christmas tree. We always had a tree, and it was always a fresh tree. But I know as I started to grow up and move out, and among others, I was overwhelmed by all of the toys and things that they got under their trees, because it was like the whole room was filled with gifts. So we never did that. And then when I married and started having our children, we have three, we gifted them a little more than what I received when I was growing up, when they were younger. But we tried to emphasize birthdays more than Christmas birthdays and other, like Valentine's Day, we made celebration of that, certainly a celebration of their birthdays and other days throughout the year that we didn't take away from Christ. Maybe we did, but that was not the intent. You know what I'm saying? That we tried to make it as minimal, not to make them feel like they couldn't get gifts, but minimal. And as they got older, we removed gifts. So, and we would talk about that to them and why we would do it. And I like what Elise said about thinking about who they as a family could gift or help or bless. And that's what we started doing. As the children got older, that was one of the biggest things that we did, to the point that we got down to one gift each. We all received a gift from the other. And then finally a family gift, so that we could just bundle the money and send to missions or bless another family or whatever we came up with. And now that the children are all adults, Erwin and I, I think last year was our, we've gone away for Christmas before, but last year was our first intentional, with everybody being gone and the nest being empty. We live, as I mentioned, and Naja also said, on the Pacific Northwest, having moved all around the country, and our children are spread throughout the United States. One son is here now, testing the waters to see if he might stay in this region, but we're not sure about that. And we were not going to be able to be together last year, nor are we all going to be able to be together this year. And so we just thought, you know, rather than sitting around and maybe moping around that the children wouldn't be with us and we not be with them, we decided to move on out, branch out. We went to another state and celebrated with just one another, found accommodations with the fireplace and all of that so we could be toasty and warm, and started a new tradition. So looking back, one of the things that we were going to talk about today was how we celebrated traditions. And so one of the biggest traditions, I think, that stuck with me, whether it was intentional or not, is that my parents did not focus on gifts. Even 60, 50 years ago, my mom just passed on the legacy, Dad too, that we should be more other-centered than us. And I think that without even thinking about it, that kind of went through our small-knit family. And the same with my husband. He, too, grew up in a very similar situation, and the gifts were not the big hoorah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But I did not grow up knowing Christ. I grew up going to church. So I did not have that benefit. But my parents, bless their hearts, they read scripture to us, not just at Christmas, but throughout the year. And Dad would send us off to school with the Bible verse. And so we did not have a personal relationship with Jesus, but we knew about Jesus, and we knew the Christmas story, and we knew to the degree that we could understand it at that time how selfless an act that was.
That's beautiful. You know, I too heard Elisa use the word overwhelming several times, and it can be overwhelming, and it can be so all-consuming, the commercialism. I know that over the years I've had to just regroup and go back and say, what is the true celebration here? We know that Christ wasn't born on December 25th, so some people just kind of eliminate Christmas completely because that's not the true date of Jesus' birth. But we do know that he came to this earth, and there is a time of celebrating, but you have to really, really focus to be able to gain the true meaning of what is going on here. And one of the traditions that I remember growing up was that we didn't have the means to do a whole lot of hoopla either in gift giving, and we went through various iterations where our gifts had to be under a certain amount. I think way back then it was like $5, and then we went through this phase where everything had to be handmade. You know, so we had arts and crafts events and activities going on, and then I remember, this is what really sticks out in my mind, and this kind of parallels with what you were saying, Zenobia. My dad always brought someone home. On any given day, truly, there was a stranger, not that he would put his five daughters in jeopardy or in harm's way, but he would bring someone home literally off the streets to make sure that they had a decent meal and some sort of opportunity to fellowship and to celebrate. And I remember that so vividly. It was like we'd come downstairs and we'd say, okay, now who is that? You know, someone we've never seen. Okay. Daddy's at it again. That's what we'd say. And that was all throughout. So that's what I remember. And then as I was rearing my two boys as a single mom, I know that we adopted families and made sure that someone else was blessed a little bit more. And then our larger family, we've just sort of done away with the gift giving and just sort of focused on more of the fellowship. But you really do have to focus to regain the whole purpose, you know, of the season, or else it can really, really get out of hand, you know. You can end up spending money that you don't have, and you know we all know what that's like. Yes. So, Elisa, I want to ask you a quick question. I've had the privilege and the honor of being able to fellowship with your family, and your family is large. You mentioned the number of children you have, but there are other people within your community, your Palawan community, that migrates to your home and celebrates with you on any given holiday and or during Christmas. How many people could you potentially be how many people could you potentially host in your home during the holidays?
It's a terrific number for me. because, you know, I have a large family. There's me, my husband, and our children. We're eight, and then we have four, rather five spiritual kids, and then my sister and her family, and my husband and cousin. So we can be about around 30.
Yes.
It's not 25, but it's always more than 20 people during
yes.
that time. But I'm going to piggyback right on what you said now about your dad bringing everybody home. And I think that when I was growing up, that my parents did make an impact in our life by that. And so you know my family really well, and you see what we've gone through by bringing people in and out. And that's
uh-huh.
just how we were growing up, whether it was Christmas or it was kind of, it's not an everyday, but it was like a tradition for us,
okay.
that you invite people when they travel, because then we didn't have cars. We ride a motorboat from place to place
uh-huh.
through the, yeah, so when they come, we'll welcome them with food, come and eat, feed them, and you know, get them a place to sleep. They get up in the morning, they go, or however long. And so
uh-huh.
I always remember growing up, they always like guests at our house and in and out until now. So I don't know. That's a really strong tradition or our custom. I'm not sure, but it is really not. And when I became Christian, when I received Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior, and as I mature and kind of get to really know the joy of serving the Lord, is just that it is. I mean,
uh-huh.
if, and you know, and it's really beautiful.
Amen.
You see, you mentioned something interesting too, and that is that people you talk to who were not born and reared in the United States, and sometimes people struggle to try to reconcile the birth of Christ with Santa Claus. How many
yes.
of us believed in Santa Claus as when we were growing up as children? Did you all believe in Santa Claus?
As a small child, I did. Yes, I did.
Uh-huh.
No, not for me. I didn't know who is Santa Claus when I was growing up. I don't know.
We were intentional about letting our children know different, though. My kids did not grow up believing in Santa Claus.
Yeah.
He takes so much
yeah.
from Christ, you know. He knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you're awake. I mean, he knows everything. And you know, a lie, obviously, but, you know, it seems like it's just a competition. Mom and Dad go out, and they work hard to earn the money to buy the things, and Santa gets the credit for that. And so I know some of our friends thought we were cruel to let our children know from the beginning, but we did. And then we told them
uh-huh.
that they could not tell their friends differently, that their parents had to tell them. If their parents wanted them to know that there was no Santa, then they would have to tell them. But from the very
right.
beginning, we let them know that there was no Santa Claus.
Right. Well, we had issues. I can't really remember going that far back. I know at some point we realized that it was our parents who, you know, who were purchasing the gifts, but we didn't have a fireplace, so the story just didn't make sense. I know we weren't making
we
cookies
either.
And leaving cookies
we
and milk
we
out on the
cookies.
Table.
We didn't either, but somehow that was compensated. You know, if you don't have a fireplace, well, he comes through the front door, you know, or comes through the window or whatever. You know, it was always compensated.
Right.
But
right.
we did
right.
not allow our children to have that story. And but anyway, that's just, yeah, they can't reconcile it, you know. So how does this Christ fit in with the Santa, you know? And
mm-hmm.
then when you have Santa, you know, somebody has Santa on the door or on the lawn and then the Christmas tree with the cross or the star on the top of that, it's like,
yeah,
it's almost like, you know, I've
scene.
Talked to you in the past
mm-hmm.
about how you know that I teach and some of my students happen to be foreign students. And I was advised, well, from people who are much more versed in English as second language than I, not to use idioms because they have a hard time understanding and following our
Ooh.
Idioms. So
uh-huh.
it's like, it's something like that. I think I would equate it to that. They're trying to picture this thing and they can't make sense out of it.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So,
Mm-hmm. One of the things that has become a tradition for me as an adult and also as a believer, and I think, see, you mentioned that as a child you did not know Christ as Savior and Lord. So I met Jesus when I was an adult, but somewhere along the line we had heard the story, and I think there was probably more nativity scenes and decorations than there were Santa. I'm not sure. I'm not claiming that because my memory may not be spot on at this point, but as an adult today and a believer and thankful that Jesus came to this earth to save sinners, I do include now a Christmas Eve service at my home congregation and other places where I've gone to worship and have been a member. So do either of you attend a Christmas Eve service?
Yes. I used to. Mm-hmm. I haven't in the last maybe year. But I used to always. I find that at times it's not as dependable for some of the same reasons that I'm saying, that I can't find that I can depend on the fact that Christ and Christ alone is being worshipped and raised up. That it there could be some intermingling of Santa or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or... Snoopy, or some of that that might filter in. So,
Alisa, how about you? Because I know that you worship with the Palawan community. Is that a part of your tradition, your Palawan tradition, a Christmas Eve service?
No. We don't do that way back then. They didn't go to church on Christmas Eve. I don't remember, or maybe they did. I just didn't remember. Like when I was back home, I didn't know Christ, but I see people going to church. So me coming to know Christ was much older and away from home, from to the other island, which is Saipan, and that's where I received Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior, and then that's when I go from there. But one of our people, the Palawan's tradition, is all on New Year's Eve. And on New Year's Eve, they, you know, I don't know the right word for it, but they do the verses, and they cut them, and then we'll draw a verse out. And they put all the verses in the basket, and then we'll gather and fellowship and then wait until midnight, and then we draw a verse for yourself. Or if, like me, I have kids and they didn't come, I said I'll draw the verse for Farley or for Daisy, and we take those verses home and ponder on them. And so for our Palawan community that I'm involved in now here in Seattle, we are having that on the 31st. So we still keep that going. Yeah.
Okay. Well, ladies, can you believe that we've been on air for 30 minutes? I spoke with Alisa earlier, and I said, we'll see. We'll play it by ear. It may only last for about 15 minutes, but we've been on air for 30 minutes. And I've really, really enjoyed your sharing and your participation. Any closing remarks that you'd like to say, and then I'll go ahead and close us out.
Just once again, Merry Christmas to everybody that's listening. Merry Christmas to the two of you. And
thank you.
And I just pray that if there's anyone listening who does not know Christ as Savior, I pray that you might contact Yield to the King Ministry for more follow-up. And God bless you.
Well, thank you, Z. Alisa, how about you?
I just want to wish you, Zenobia, you and your family, a Merry Christmas. Not sending to you, all the listeners. The hope is that you will, that Christ will birth in your situation, wherever you're at. Focus on your Christmas tree. You'll see the light. I challenge that you would allow the light to be plugged in all the way in the morning, and during the night, you'll see that it will really look at the light, and it is really bright. And mm-hmm. as it goes to daylight, then the light is there, but it's not as bright as when it's dark, or like when it's dark in the house. That's the beauty of that light, and Jesus is the light of the world. And
amen.
He says that we are the light too, not because we are the light, but I truly believe that we are a reflector of the light. So if you haven't received Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, my prayer and hope is that you will, that you would just ask Him to come into your life, to save you, admit that you are a sinner, and that you need help, and then He will come and watch Him. I truly believe that it will be the best decision that you will ever make. And like Zenobia said, if you have any questions, call you to the King, and Naj will be more than happy to help you with that. Thank you so much for the opportunity, and God bless you.
Thank you both. So I'm going to read Isaiah 9 and 6 real quickly. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Enjoy your Christmas holiday, however you choose to celebrate it. Just remember, Jesus is the reason for the season, mm-hmm. and without him, there would be no Christmas story. So I want to say
Amen.
God bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
We'll talk again in a couple of weeks. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Bye.
Bye.